he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
The billiard room.
No.
The billiard?
Not billiards. It was... Come on, Rick. Come on. We call it the
place to be.
The place to be. Yes, it's the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can...
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said.
Why do I want this?
Yeah.
Because I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is now time for the Place to Be podcast. And now your hosts, Justin Rosero and Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to another great episode of the Place to Be podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, and joining me, as always, is my PIC, Scott Criscolo. Scott, how are you doing tonight?
Good evening, JR, and good evening, everyone. Episode 57 of the Place to Be podcast. And of course, I must refer to my ace who I may never see pitch ever again, Johan Santana.
I will go with the great Mo Lewis, the man who ended Drew Bledsoe's run and started this whole nonsensical Tom Brady garbage.
Yeah. Streak. So your team has no one to blame but themselves. No.
Yeah, I guess so.
Welcome, everyone, to another outstanding episode of the Place to Be podcast. It is our weekly headlines episode for the week, which we always say we're never going to do during the summer. We seem to always do anyway, but it's been a great summer for wrestling. So we thought it was going to be a crappy one, and it's ended up being a great summer for wrestling. But we got a lot. I mean, we got a lot to go over tonight.
Yeah, we're going to mainly do wrestling tonight. We'll try and maybe get some sports in depending, but we're trying to keep this thing tight tonight. And of course, later this week, we'll be back with The Vault. And next week, there will be no headlines, but instead will be our mega NFL 2011-2012 season preview. We'll make all our predictions and all that stuff. So,
yep. Try and get, we're trying to lock down our round table, see who we can get for our special next Monday. See if we can find a Rish guy. We haven't dug him out of the mothballs in what? God, he hasn't been on in, what, 3 months? Since before the Mavericks won, probably, right? I think that's the last time Rish was on.
Yeah, it's been a while. Maybe we'll just do me and you, because I think there'll be a lot to talk about. We'll see.
Most likely. But we'll see. But yeah, that's next Monday. And then, of course, we will have, obviously, another Vault and move ahead to the fall. And we got a very busy fall. Got a lot going on. So, but tonight, we have even more going on. Obviously, last week, we had the awesome podcast interview with the great Stevie Richards. So we didn't get a chance to recap SummerSlam, which happened last Sunday at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, which has become, in essence, the home office of SummerSlam now.
Yes.
Which is kind of a bummer because I've never seen a SummerSlam, and it's always been my favorite pay-per-view. I'm sure it'll come over back to this side event. You had mentioned it a couple weeks ago that once the Hollywood thing kind of fizzles or levels out, that they'll probably move it around again. So maybe. We'll see.
All right. Well, let's quickly recap it, just give our thoughts. You watched – I saw majority of the show as well, but it was I wasn't fully paying attention, we'll say.
Okay.
So,
well,
I did
I
catch
watched
a majority of it.
I watched the only part I missed was I missed most of the opener.
Okay.
I got there late to our friend Mike's house. So I missed most of the opener, but I pretty much watched everything else. So
All right. Well, the opener, of course, was an unannounced match, Rey Mysterio, John Morrison, Kofi Kingston versus The Miz, R-Truth, and Alberto Del Rio. The Faces won that one with Rey pinning R-Truth. Of course, that would set up the next night on Raw, where Rey Mysterio was granted a championship rematch against the winner of that night's title match. So from what I saw of this one, was good. Read good reviews about it. Just under 10 minutes. Rey, originally, I think this was supposed to be a singles match with Rey and The Miz, but they ended up making it the sixth man so they could hide Rey, and we'll get to the reasons for that later.
Yeah.
But that is the main, main thing to come out of that match, just to get these six guys out there. And then kind of, tease things Del Rio to make it seem like he was done for the night at this point.
Right. You could definitely tell that that Rey is hurting a little bit. We'll tell you what's hurting him in a little bit. But it wasn't bad. Kofi always brings the goods, and obviously he couldn't keep Miz off the show, so they were just he may not have been announced going in, but you knew they were going to stick him somewhere.
Right.
And this match again, it was good. It got everybody on and got Del Rio on camera and. Yeah, obviously couldn't have him not on camera. He would be on camera again, but we'll tell you why later. But he gets in the opener. Rey actually hits Well, actually, Kofi leaps out onto Miz. Ray hits Truth with the finishing frog splash. So Ray gets the pin in the match. So Kofi, Morrison, and Ray get the win. Now, I didn't hear whether it was because of this match or when they announced it, but they announced after the match ended that Ray indeed was going to get a WWE Championship match the following night on Raw from his hometown of San Diego, California, against the winner of the WWE Championship match later on in the night, CM Punk and John Cena. I don't think it had anything to do with the match itself. I think they just announced it.
I think it had to do with the fact that he was, you know, the champion after that tournament.
So he hadn't gotten his rematch back.
Yeah, that was basically it. After that, backstage, Punk was talking to John Laurinaitis, and Stephanie comes in. She would pop up here and there throughout the night. She offered Punk to shake her hand, and Punk may have had the line of the night. We said, "I know where that head's been," and so he did not shake it.
I did find that very funny. I have to admit, it was very funny.
So from there was the first SmackDown match, and this is a match actually I was quite looking forward to in the Battle of the Hosses, Sheamus and Mark Henry, and
I
really enjoyed it. I thought it lived up. You know, it was just over 9 minutes. They did made Sheamus looking strong. They had Mark Henry knock him out on the floor, and he won by count out. So kind of a schmozzy finish, but you know, they wanted Henry to go over for reasons obviously we'll see later. And these two were actually, they just announced tonight that they'll be having their rematch this Friday at SmackDown, so that should be good.
I agree with you. I love this match. It was exactly the way that I wanted it to go. Two big ham hocks just smacking the crap out of each other. And, you know, Sheamus definitely has become a very underrated performer because he's, you know, he hasn't had a chance to really wrestle a lot of big dudes. I mean, in mm-hmm. his time, he's mostly wrestled Cena, Orton, you know, smaller, I know Cena's not small, but not compared to Mark Henry. You know, he really hasn't wrestled guys like Big Show or Kane or anybody like that. So, and Morrison, he wrestled. So I was looking forward to this because he was actually going to face a guy that doesn't move that great, but it kind of suits Sheamus's moveset, you know, strikes, kicks, punches, chops. And I thought it was awesome. I thought it was great. And I thought the ending was a little meh, but I mean, it was a way to give Mark Henry the win without obviously burying Sheamus.
Yeah, and obviously they have big things in mind for Sheamus, I think.
Yeah, obviously. So, but you know, Mark Henry gets the win by count out as he I mean, and the spot was pretty stiff too. Mm. He crushes Sheamus through the barricade, and Sheamus just has barricade pieces all over him. And
yep.
You know, for those that may not know, the barricade pieces are not light. They are literally heavy pieces of metal. So it was a pretty stiff move. And Sheamus tried to get back to the ring, and he just couldn't. So Mark Henry gets the momentum. And, of course, he rides that momentum to Friday's SmackDown. And we'll tell you what happens there in a moment. But a good win for him. And Sheamus did his best. He got his chops and his shots in, but he just couldn't overcome the big man. So
after that, CeeLo Green did his performance. And that was followed by the Divas title match, Kelly Kelly against Beth. And this is one that almost seemed so obvious that we probably knew we were all going to be wrong. Deep down, we all picked Beth because we figured that was the logical progression for that angle. But Kelly countered the Glam Slam and retained her title. A bit of an upset there, obviously. Mm. And Beth and Natalya had their thing going on. And that's continuing. I saw some people that were concerned it may be ending prematurely, but it's definitely not. They're going to continue. And I'm guessing Beth wins the title at Night of Champions, or Natalya, one of the two.
Yeah, I actually like the finish, and you know me, I'm not the biggest Kelly Kelly fan in terms of her in ring, but the reversal off of the Glam Slam was actually pretty nice. I have to give her props for it. It was pretty she did it pretty smoothly, and she gets the upset win. I didn't expect her to win. I don't think anybody did, but yeah, I think it just continues on, and seems like Natalya and Beth kind of are stalking Eve and Kelly Kelly. Leading up to what'll happen at Night of Champions. So it was just something to advance the thing another month. And the match itself was not much, but I have to give Kelly props. The reversal of the Glam Slam was actually pretty smooth. I have to give her credit for that. It was good.
All right. So then they tease some more backstage where Stephanie's seen leaving John Cena's locker room. Then they have that funny little clip with R-Truth and Jimmy Hart. Jimmy Hart offered to manage R-Truth, and Truth, you know, was on board with him, and then he put the two and two together and called Jimmy Hart Little Jimmy and thought that he was in on the conspiracy, the Little Jimmy stuff. So just a funny little 2 minute time killer there.
I would like
to see Jimmy Hart manage him. That would have been pretty funny.
That would have been great. I think it would have been cool if, you know, if you bring back some of the old school guy, you know, bring some of his guys back that are still alive, you know, bring back Honky and the Hammer, and it would be kind of neat to bring back. They can't really bring back Demolition. Well,
bring back the Rougeaus.
They bring back Jacques and Raymond, of course. The Nasties.
Yep.
You know, why not? You know, it'd be pretty cool. Just bring back all these random Jimmy Hart guys. It'd be pretty cool.
So so. But, okay, so next up was a match a lot of people are looking forward to, and that's Daniel Bryan, Wade Barrett. You called this one. You thought they'd put Barrett over Strong. I was hoping Bryan, he was kind of on a roll with the whole Money in the Bank thing. Very good match, at least, too. They definitely let them let loose just under 12 minutes. Wade Barrett wins with the Wasteland, and I was fine either way. I like both these guys, so that they both could have used this win. So Daniel Bryan didn't seem to lose much momentum. He would have a really good match as well with Del Rio this week on SmackDown. He lost that one to a tough match. But he's, you know, as long as he puts on the quality matches and they give him the opportunity to be showcased, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's they were kind of chanting boring in the middle. There were a couple of, I don't want to say extended, but there were a couple of rest hold moments that may have slowed it down a bit. But it doesn't take away from the fact that two guys busted their tails. And I'm still not a big fan of Barrett's finisher. I don't like that Wasteland. I think he needs something a little more, I don't know, a little more vim and vigor. Just kind of, the move is a good setup. I don't like it as a finisher. I hope they can maybe think of something more better for him as a.
Should give him the Razor's Edge. Well, I guess Sheamus kind of does that, right?
Yeah, he does it's the Celtic Cross or whatever. What's the thing called? No, that was Finley's move. What the heck did they call it? I don't know what they call it, but it's something like that.
I don't know if he still uses it or not. Oh, no, he uses the Brogue Kick, right?
He's the Brogue Kick now. Yeah, I would use a Razor's Edge. Why not? I think it'd be pretty cool.
It would fit Barrett.
Yeah, I think it's because I have nothing against the Wasteland, but to me, it's not a finisher. It's a setup move. Otherwise, that takes nothing away from the match. The match itself is tremendous. Was good. As long as Bryan keeps the Money in the Bank and puts on, I agree with you. If the internet, the IWC, and believe it or not, we're not part of that, is going to whine and bitch that he's losing matches, then just get over yourself. I mean, these guys can't go undefeated. All right, let's be realistic.
No, as long as he's being booked strongly and not as a joke like he was last year, which is when we had issue with it. He's got the Money in the Bank. He comes out. They give him some promo time. They finally got him a different theme song, and I think they're doing fine by him. He's going to do something to kill time into WrestleMania, so that's what they're trying to do. And a feud with Wade Barrett is a fine way to kill time.
Yeah, and, I agree.
Just to break in, we do have new tag team champions. Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne just defeated Nexus, or old Nexus, or whatever.
Nexus.
Miguel Cuddy and Otunga, so.
Yeah, old school Nexus. Now, I was just bitching before you and I went on the air that I don't know why they were picking this match now, but they won anyway. So the rematch will probably be at Night of Champions.
Well, I'm actually hearing a rumor from our buddy, the Sanchai, said he read that it may be Truth and Miz getting the tag title shot against these two at Night of Champions, so. I'm not sure where
it's kind of a neat little. That's a neat little team, huh? It's kind of two kooks.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. So, new tag champions. But heading back to last Sunday, next segment, Christian came out to the ring getting ready for his match. And he said he had a special enforcer that was going to be in his corner. Of course, he brought out Edge. Edge had been rumored to be in town for a couple weeks before that.
Yep.
So, Edge does his thing, and then Christian's all excited, thinking he's going to help him out. Edge tells him he didn't like the way he's been whining and bitching and complaining, and basically tells him to go screw when he takes off. So, yeah. Edge gets his little nostalgia pop, comes out, says hi to the crowd, does his thing, and takes off. And that would set the stage for what would be the match of the night. And that is the world champion Christian defending against Randy Orton, no holds barred match. I was hoping they keep it on Christian one more month, but I understand why they felt like the need to end this here. I thought for sure they'd try and drag it out to Hell in a Cell, honestly. And as much as you can say, oh, they've had so many matches, these two have always delivered good matches. And also, they've also progressed the story through each month. So, like, each month they do something to counter something that was worked in last month. You know, they've learned and progressed the match. It's like they just continuously keep doing the same match. So that's what I've liked about this feud. It's been an intelligent feud. And these two really bring out the best in each other. And I think we're starting to see a pairing that may be on and off over the next couple of years. You know, these guys may always come back to each other for this feud. So, awesome match. Tremendous match. 24 minutes. They just beat the shit out of each other all over the place. They used the tables, chairs, the stairs. And then, of course, the end, Orton hit the great midair RKO as Christian came off the rope onto the ring steps to get the win. So, great match. Randy Orton's your new champion, and we'll see. He will finally move on to something new next month. But
yes, it was an outstanding match. And you made a great point. I've been saying all along, and when we do our year-end podcast, I'm going to say it again. To me, this has been the feud of the year. My opinion, and you're right, every week, or every month, every chapter, if you will, has been something different. It kind of upgrades what you had the month before. It wasn't the same, oh, they're doing the same thing, and they're going to wrestle again. Oh, they're doing this again, they're going to wrestle again. It hasn't been like that at all. It has been an upgrade, and they've been using the SmackDown characters and Teddy Long, and they've really found a good way to cultivate the feud month by month.
I mean, how can anyone say really anything negative about their matches? I don't think they've had less than like a 3.5 to 4-star match any time.
Not one TV match, free or pay, has been bad. And again, I'll say it before and I'll say it again. To me, it's all because the two guys are facing pretty much themselves because they both have similar body types. Orton has a chance to face someone like that. Christian is facing a guy that kind of goes at his pace. It's tremendous. So they're going to take a breather, and we'll tell you what's going to happen from here on out in a little bit. But I think they'll meet at least one more time before the year's out. But a tremendous match last Sunday, and Orton wins back the World Heavyweight Championship that he lost at Money in the Bank. So great match, great match.
So from there, we had our second world title match. That's the WWE Championship, CM Punk champion versus John Cena champion. Yep. Of course, this was to unify the two titles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not quite the level of the Money in the Bank match, but still very, very good between these two. The crowd, mm-hmm. not as great as the one at Money in the Bank, but still very, very hot for this match. So
yeah,
good.
No, finish your thought. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, so yeah, I definitely, you know, was glad to see that they were able to deliver another great match, even without that, you know, the build being a little more lukewarm and without the molten hot crowd, they still worked very well together.
Yeah, the reason I jumped the gun was I had it in my head. The crowd, at least the first like 6 or 7 minutes, really sucked.
Of the match or the show?
The match.
Okay.
The crowd for the whole show was all right. You know, it's L.A. You're only going to get so much out of them. I mean, they weren't terrible. They're not like Anaheim or any of those other, you know, latte sipping crowds, but they weren't bad. But the first like 6 or 7 minutes of this match, they were pretty bad. I don't know if they were all taking a crap or in the concessions, but it was a little slow to start. There was a little more posturing. And again, I concur with you, though, trying to compare this to Chicago in July is ridiculous. It's like comparing a preseason game to the Super Bowl. It doesn't right. You can't do that. But it picked up towards the end, and obviously Triple H is the guest referee. He really didn't do anything to enhance the match really. They didn't really...
No, he reminded me of a red herring for what was to come. Like, they wanted you to think he was going to get involved, and then, of course, he never did.
Right. However, the end, there was a little something at the very end of the match. Punk hits the go-to-sleep on Cena. Cena lands close to the edge of the ring. Punk goes for the pin. And stealing the ending of the Steve Austin Undertaker match from Backlash 2002, Triple H goes for the pin, and on the one, John Cena's foot hits the bottom rope. Triple H does not see it. We go to the two, we go to the three, and with Cena's foot on the rope, Triple H does not notice it, and CM Punk is the undisputed WWE champion.
All right, now I get why they did that, but it aggravates me for a couple of reasons. One, I think Punk should have just went over. And two, it's fine if that was going to indirectly lead to like Cena having a rematch with Punk saying that, hey, you screwed me, you owe me. But they haven't really done that. So to me, they didn't really capitalize on that whole, I don't see why they had it if they weren't going to use it.
Right. I think it's because they really they wanted to convolute what would happen next. Because let's continue on with what happened, and then I'll kind of put my point in perspective.
All right, so Triple H hands Punk the belt. Punk celebrating, Cena bitches at Triple H and then takes off. Triple H tries to shake Punk's hand, Punk declines, so Triple H just raises his hand. And as he's heading to the back, Kevin Nash comes out of the crowd, drops Punk with a big boot, hits him with a big jackknife powerbomb. Alberto Del Rio then rushes to the ring, cashes in his contract, hits an enziguri, and wins the title. So that was what a lot of people were expecting to happen, and that is what happened. Del Rio is your new WWE champion. Punk and Cena both screwed, and now the question was, what is Nash doing there? Who hired Nash? Why is he there? Is he with Del Rio? Is he with Triple H? You know, who is he with? Why is he there? So that was the big question coming out of this show.
And so that's why I think they did what they did, to put in perspective what we were talking about a moment ago. I think that they want to really confuse everyone by thinking, well, did Triple H screw both of them? You know, if he was going to screw somebody, why would he screw Cena? Cena's the happier guy. He's the more manageable guy to deal with. Or did he just blow it? And then something else happened after the fact. Was Nash an insurance policy? If Triple H botched the match? I mean, it does leave a lot of speculation, and left a lot of doors open. So I think that it's not as annoying. I don't think it's as annoying as you're making it out to be. I think it was more of a confusing. Well, he screwed both guys. What, you know? Did he do it on purpose? What's going on? And speaking of Triple H, he's talking to Roger Goodell of WWE, John Laurinaitis, right now.
Did you see they trademarked the Future Endeavor? Future Endeavor. So it looks like he's going to be a character.
That's That's funny. Well, they need a
It was like Mr. Future Endeavor, I think.
Yeah, they need a obviously they need a new guy to take a new corporate guy to take bumps because Vince is just too old and Triple H is not going to take him. So, yeah, that's what I think it was. I think it was to kind of I think it was you mentioned red herring, and I think that's what that was. I think it was kind of to make everyone kind of remember, but they kind of forget. It might have been too much for such a short period of time. Like all this shit went down in like the last 9 minutes of the broadcast.
Right.
So it might have been too much. But I think they did it. I'm not agreeing or disagreeing with that. I'm just saying I think it was just to kind of throw everyone off the scent and make everyone think, well, what did Triple H? Did he just screw everybody up? I mean, did he not want either of these guys? And obviously that's leading to what's been going on the last couple weeks. So that was your end. It was cool to see Big Daddy Cool.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, they just showed the awesome moment in 1996 when he ripped off Mad Dog Vachon's leg. They just did the promo for the OMG DVD, which comes out tomorrow. Which watching that promo is making me want to buy it now. I wasn't going to, but there's so many cool moments on that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's one of them. Obviously, when he rips the leg off of Mad Dog Vachon. You think him and Sean? You think Sean wanted him to do that? Most likely, no one. Sean, the dick that he was.
No, I'm sure it was Mad Dog's idea. Honestly,
most likely because he's fucking crazy too. But. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit later on about, if we have some time, about DVDs, because there's a crap load out of them out right now. Really good ones.
Yes.
And we'll get to that in a little bit. But, yeah, there's your SummerSlam. So it was the WWE Championship match between CM Punk and John Cena, and the winner is Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, so, I mean, not a shock. They have the Mexican tour coming up, and the rumor was they wanted Del Rio on top for that tour. So,
right.
Not a shock. Not a shock at all. So, of course, then heading into Raw the next night, Del Rio would defeat Rey Mysterio. To retain his title, they had they had Kevin Nash come out, explain that someone sent him a text message the night of the show. He was already there, and they asked him to do what he did. And of course, they have not revealed yet who sent the text, and that is the big story running through. CM Punk came out. They had a pretty good duel back and forth. It depends on which way you look at it. It was a lot of insider stuff, so maybe it went over the head of some of the fans. But I think a majority probably got the gist of what they were talking about.
Pretty much.
So yeah, that sets up. Well, it looks to be a future feud, and it seems like they're trying to make Punk be the face, but they're also trying to keep Cena face, so they're trying to tread that line of not really having them be together, but also have them be on the same side against Alberto Del Rio. So, and of course, this week now, they've announced that they will be fighting tonight, Punk and Cena, to determine who will face Del Rio at Night of Champions. And
right.
Judging by the way things are going, I'm guessing it's going to be Cena-Del Rio at Night of Champions, with Punk facing Nash, but... I'm sure we'll still be recording as the show ends, so we'll be able to update that.
Yeah. Yep. And obviously, I think something just happened. Somebody got in an ambulance or, I don't know, something weird went down. Laurinaitis just gave Triple H some note. I mean, my captioning's half and half, so I don't really know what happened, but Triple H ran off. So some ambulance thing went down, but we'll let you know more about that as we go along. But anyway, the reason that Rey Mysterio took the beating that he took last Monday Night on Raw is because he is going to take time off.
We'll get to that in a minute when we get to the news.
Okay, but anyway, he did get hurt. We'll tell you what it is in a minute. But
major program for Night of Champions, SmackDown. Why don't you talk about what happened on SmackDown?
Yeah, on SmackDown. So this past Friday night, did you actually watch it? Because I actually watched it.
Yes. Yep.
They had a battle royal to determine a new number one contender. For the World Heavyweight Championship, who would face Randy Orton at Night of Champions for the big gold belt. And I have to pat myself on the back because I don't think anybody truly took me seriously when I said it. But Mark Henry did win the Battle Royal, threw out Sin Cara, or Faux Cara, I guess, because I think it was the fake one. Santino's coming out. That was the last time he was on Raw.
I'm sure he'll be jobbing quickly.
Yeah, 2.5 months ago. So it will be at Night of Champions, Mark Henry. Facing Randy Orton for the World Heavyweight Championship. And this is a good... He deserves it.
Yeah, it's a good off-month challenger. Yep. And you know what I liked about that Battle Royal? I liked how they did multiple teased eliminations. Oh, it looks like Miz and R-Truth are together.
Yeah, because they're beating the crap out of Santino.
I like how they did multiple spots where the guy went through the middle rope and had to come back in. That was just kind of a neat touch, something they don't do a lot of. Sin Cara happened to a few times, and it just added a little more realism because guys do fall through the middle ropes during matches.
Yes,
so
I agree.
I kind of like that touch. And, of course, Mark Henry's been booked tremendously. He really has. They've made him look like a true monster. I love the way he ran through that battle royal, and I'm glad he's getting a title match. I hope he actually – they do a – I wouldn't mind a schmoz ending on this pay-per-view to continue it to another show, but I don't know if they'll put those two in a cell. That's the only thing.
No, I don't think so. I have a feeling, and when we do our picks in a couple weeks, Well, it might be next week or week after. Oh, no, it'll be a few weeks. I have a feeling that that Henry will be on the verge of winning, and I'm sure they'll do some kind of schmoz with Sheamus. He'll run in and cost him the belt to keep that feud going. So,
do you think maybe Christian gets back in the picture for Hell in a Cell again?
I think so. I think if any, I think they'll do one last, because, you know, technically Christian never, you know, he needs his rematch back for what happened.
Yeah, so they may say, you know what, whatever, Mark Henry couldn't get the job done. I get one more shot at you inside the cell.
Inside the cell, because you'd rather have those two in it. Those two in a cell will be fantastic. So,
yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I could see them wanting to get to that point, but not wanting to do another match in between. So it makes sense the way they're doing it.
Yeah.
Everything else on Night of Champions doesn't seem to have too much direction. I'm guessing right now they're going to talk about Miz and Truth. I'm thinking they're going to get the title shot for the tag titles. And then as far as the other championships go, I'm just not really sure. Cody Rhodes, maybe Daniel Bryan. They're still kind of feuding a little bit.
I think it's going to be Ziegler and Swagger. That seems to be the direction they're going.
I think tonight, what did Swagger do? Did he join up with Vicky? I read. I missed that. Well,
he came out with Vicky as like a experiment, like a test.
Okay.
And he was beaten up. He actually had things in hand against A-Rai, but Ziegler came out, started arguing with Vicky. You don't need him. He's a loser. He's a loser. And to quote the great Rick Martel, and Dolph accidentally knocks Vicky over. Swagger goes outside the rope, starts jawing with Dolph, and A-Rai rolls schoolboys him for the win.
Okay, so looking like Swagger Dolph, or maybe a three-way with A-Rai in there, too.
A-Rai for the U.S. title. I see probably, I would have to say it'll probably be Cody and maybe Sin Cara? I don't know.
Oh, they could do Sin Cara. Yeah, they could do some. Either with him or maybe Zeke gets one more match, but probably not. But
He jobbed out Friday night, so I don't know if he'll get another shot, but... there's got to be some other good mid-card guys. You know who might be? I wouldn't be surprised, because they seem to be starting to separate him now on SmackDown, and that's Justin Gabriel. They keep talking about him a lot now. They do keep doing that. They keep running that.
I don't know if you think they would shoot him this short up until... I know, they did give him a good video and a good win. I don't know if they shoot him this quickly up.
No?
I'm not sure. Sin Cara makes sense, so I can see that.
All right. And obviously, Kelly and Beth will have their rematch. I'm sure Beth will finally lay her out.
Or Natalya. It'll be one of the two. Natalya.
Right. Is there any more belts? I think that's it. Yeah, that's all of them.
We got them both. Yeah,
we got them all. We got the IC and the US, both big belts, the tag, the women. Yeah, we got them all. Obviously, we'll keep you up to date here on the Place to Be podcast as the card starts to fill out for Night of
Champions. Apparently, it was Nash in the ambulance. That's what I'm reading here.
Okay, so Nash got jumped probably by, they'll say Punk did it. So we'll see what happens. But obviously, Night of Champions doesn't have to be all title matches. I don't think last year's Night of Champions had it all. I think there was one extra match. I'm trying to remember what it was.
I'm sure they'll have it. Yeah. I mean, they don't have enough titles, I don't think, to fill it. So, especially if one of them's Orton, Mark Henry, which is not going to be very long.
No, and it won't be the main. Obviously, the main event will probably be Cena and Del Rio.
And so I'm thinking Punk Nash will probably be on that show as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, and incidentally, I didn't realize this. Do you know there's two SmackDowns? Well, I don't want to say two SmackDowns. It's like three shows, and each brand has a show and a half. Because obviously Raw's on tonight, and then regular SmackDown is on Friday night. But then tomorrow night, live at 8 o'clock on Sci-Fi, they're calling it Super SmackDown. And it's going to have people from both shows.
Oh, and I was not even aware of that.
Yeah, I saw the promo before. Live at 8 o'clock Tuesday night, tomorrow night, on Sci-Fi.
Hmm.
They're doing, it's almost like a mega show. I don't think it's 3 hours. It's probably just two. I think it's 8 to 10. But both brands are going to be on. Regular SmackDown on Friday night. So
I feel like they haven't really plugged that at all. I didn't hear anything about it.
Yeah, I thought I saw they did a couple promos on Friday night SmackDown, and then they did one.
Okay.
I don't know, about 45 minutes ago here on Raw. So, so it's going to be tomorrow. So it's almost like three shows this week. Each brand gets like a show and a half.
Well, it's not on the guide, which is weird. It's on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, it said Sci-Fi. Yeah, if you rewind your Raw to like, I don't know, quarter to 10, I think there was a promo for it.
Yeah, they're showing just regular programming on Sci-Fi's guide right now. So.
Oh, weird.
So I can't even set the DVR.
Yeah, it's very strange. But yeah, tomorrow night. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Is it next
Tuesday? Oh, it might be next Tuesday. Usually they hype the shit out of these things.
I'm sorry. My bad. It's next Tuesday.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Next Tuesday. My bad. I was thinking, yeah, two shows? That's weird. Because then they have to tape two shows tomorrow night? No, that would make sense. So there's probably no SmackDown next Friday night.
Maybe.
This is probably the...
Well, that'll be Labor Day weekend, so maybe they're doing something with that.
That's a long taping. I mean, a full live show and then tape SmackDown. And the show is at 8. So it's not like you could – that means you'd have to start regular SmackDown at 6. And that's kind of early for a crowd. I don't even know where that taping is. But my bad. I'm sorry. So it's not tomorrow night, folks. It's next Tuesday night, 8 o'clock on Sci-Fi Live.
Okay.
Super SmackDown. So, yeah, you're probably right. There probably won't be a SmackDown show next Friday night, Labor Day weekend, because no one will probably watch. Okay. Not that no one will watch, but I'm sure the viewership will probably be very, very low. Isn't Saturday night the – or do they already air at the WrestleMania? Did they already
do that?
Yeah,
that was last weekend, I think.
Was it last weekend? Okay.
Not this past one, but the week before.
The week before? Okay. So there's your catch up, and obviously we'll keep tabs on it throughout the the weeks to mm-hmm. fill out the Night of Champions pay-per-view.
Right. So let's a little bit of news I wanted to hit before we hit our main news segment. And that is today it leaked out that Tough Enough was finally picked up for the second season, which is great news. There were a lot of questions about whether it would be, and the talent wasn't sure. Now, they didn't announce who the trainers were going to be, so we don't know if it's still going to be Booker, Trish, and Bill DeMott. It'll be interesting what they do with Booker, because obviously now he's become a major part of SmackDown as the announced crew, and from what I read, Vince is actually really high on him because he's so different sounding, and he likes that he's different. So I don't see
Booker. And he wasn't on, what, like 3 or 4 episodes first season? He wasn't even on.
Right, yeah.
I think they're going to want to bring someone with a little more. I mean, obviously, if you don't bring Bill back, you might as well not even do the show.
No, I think Bill will be back. I think Bill will be. And I think they like Trish probably with the girls. So, and they're going to need a female trainer. So,
yeah,
and
so
she's
got
the highest name power of any female they'll probably bring in. So,
right. So they'll probably bring in, you know who would actually be a great. Hear me out. You might think this is crazy, but you know who would be a great third trainer? And I think he would be a cool. Kind of unique addition to the training crew on that show, Mick.
Yeah, that could work. It'd be interesting.
You know, Mick would be in there, kind of take it seriously, and you know, kind of give these guys a next level. Maybe take a chair shot. All right, you know, you think you're all tough here. Whack! Here's another one. Whack! And just start maybe teaching the next level of learning hardcore style stuff and taking shots and things like that. You know, something different. I think something to kind of spice up the show and not have to go through the same thing. And he'd be kind of a cool addition, somebody Steve trusts, Stone Cold, sorry.
Well, Mick's actually involved in his own reality show right now. I guess it's official that he's going to be doing Wife Swap.
Yes, he mentioned it. I read it earlier, and I guess another wrestler's involved somewhere, so I don't know. That could get sticky.
So he might not be in. They might want someone who can do more of the in-ring stuff. I don't know. I mean, Finlay would have been good if he was still around, but obviously that's not going to happen. It'll be interesting. I'm sure they'll find someone, but I'm just glad it came back, and we'll of course go back to doing our weekly recaps of that show, which was the highlight of a lot of our early headlines episodes.
Yes, absolutely. And incidentally, on a side note, Justin sent me a text on Saturday that there was a deal. There was a lot of specials sales on WWEshop.com, and I think every Tough Enough T-shirt right now is $10.
Hmm.
So if you want to get yourself. And I thought the Tough Enough shirts were actually very cool looking, and all those Stone Cold ones that just said SCSA on the upper right, those are all $10.
Well, hopefully when they do this season, the one thing that they don't need to really fix much, but the one thing would be the live finale. Hopefully they do something a little bit different this time.
Yeah, they totally. We're not going to get into that, but they totally botched that. But that didn't take away from the season itself. The season itself was tremendous. So
right.
But we're looking forward to it. Hopefully they have a good cachet of young studs and annoying. Bitches and asshole guys, and I honestly think, don't be surprised, I think they'll bring Martin back. I think they'll give Martin a second.
Again?
Yeah, I think they'll give him another shot.
Maybe. We'll see.
I think they'll put him on again. But,
all right.
Yeah, well, so looking forward to that for next season.
Yep, so right now we want to get into a new segment that we've been doing on our headlines, and that is, of course, something we kind of have done before, but now we're going to make it a formal little spot here, and that is to go through the news, and we're going to obtain that news from our new partner website, and of course that is WrestleChat.net.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
So what we'll be doing is we pulled a bunch of the hottest stories over the last few days from WrestleChat. We compile the links. I'll hit them up, and I'll read them for us. And then, Scott, we can break it down. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, so our first story is one that we did mention earlier, and that has to do with Rey Mysterio. And per WrestleChat.net, Rey Mysterio has confirmed that rumors that have been going on for days, he will be officially on the shelf for 8 to 10 months with surgery to repair his torn ACL and MCL. Rey tore ligaments while doing a baseball slide on Raw in his match against Alberto Del Rio. So it looks like he will be out for a long time. And you got to give him credit. He completely blew out his knee and finished that whole match. So big points there to Rey, who had been hurting anyway. It looks like he had been fighting it as long as he could, and now things finally just collapsed on him. So 8 to 10 months, that definitely takes him out of Mania, right? Or no? He might be back in time, but most likely.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, even if he's ready for Mania, you need some kind of build.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and obviously the rumor was that they were going to have him against Sin Cara, and Vince wanted to set the world record for the most masked people in one building. So I don't think that's going to happen now.
No, obviously it takes a hit. Hey, who knows? You know, maybe he recovers in time to be back for that show, and then maybe he leaves. You know, they've done it before where a guy can come back, do that one match. He can be on TV building up to it without really wrestling. Have that match, and then in the month after, he can just be on TV without wrestling. So they could fudge it if he's healthy enough to at least compete with for one, go all out for one match. But we'll see.
Right.
We'll track that as we get closer. But it's now, definitely a big blow to them right now.
Yeah, and I know they said that he got hurt during the match, but...
No, well, he had been banged up. His knee had been bad.
Obviously.
He tore the ligaments in that match.
Yeah, because they... They did the whole booking where Del Rio beat the snot out of him after. So, I mean, obviously that wasn't scripted. So he must have been.
Well, they could have called it. They must have called that maybe on the fly, right?
Yeah.
Told the ref he fucked his knee up pretty bad. But it seems like something that was building anyway. And then that was the final straw where he snapped the ligaments and still finished that match. But, you know, Rey has been the MVP of Raw for a while. He's been having tremendous matches on TV and pay-per-view. Yep. So it's a major blow to the quality of the shows.
Yes, and I think this is going to be, I don't know which knee it is, but, you know, he has that little thing, I had surgery 5 times on my left knee. Well, hopefully this is on his left knee, because his knee is starting to turn to Joe Namath now, gooey and doughy, so.
I didn't say.
Yeah,
he needs to have surgery again, that's all he said in his tweet. Yeah.
So
if it's
his left knee, that's not good.
I mean, I don't know how much longer he has anyway, but I'm guessing he's going to come back and have one more run, that would be my guess.
Right.
All right, so the next story... of course, is the big story that was over this weekend. Not a surprising one, but a continuing sad one. And that is, of course, Matt Hardy was fired from TNA, arrested for a DWI. The Hardy's nonsense continues. So this is credit TMZ from WrestleChat. Matt Hardy's arrest today in North Carolina had immediate repercussions. He's been dropped from TNA. Rep tells TMZ that TNA has released Impact star Matt Hardy from its roster. Hardy was already under suspension from the company. As sort of supported by TMZ, Hardy was arrested after his Jim Cornette smashed a tennis racket into his... No, after his Corvette smashed into a tree this afternoon.
Yeah.
And then there was a follow-up story on WrestleChat that... Let me pull that up. Matt Hardy was arrested Saturday in North Carolina for driving intoxicated. He says he is innocent. No shit. Of course, the Hardys always proclaim their innocence. In response to fans who were discussing his arrest, Hardy wrote on his YouTube channel, I took a breathalyzer immediately on the spot and it read clean, zero, nothing. Think about peeps. There's more to this than meets the eye, Matthew. Of course, there's always more than meets the eye for this clown. Hardy posted another longer response regarding the matter, but immediately deleted it. Hardy's contract with TNA was subsequently terminated. He hinted on YouTube that a return to WWE could be in the cards. I don't know at this point if they're going to want him back.
No.
They don't need the PR nonsense. The only reason I'd bring him back is tell him they're getting him a push and then have Punk destroy him and rag on him for being a drunk. But I don't know how many more chances these guys need. I mean, I've always been a big Matt Hardy fan, especially during his 2002, 2003, 2004 run. But it's just sad these clowns not take any responsibility. And now driving drunk is the one thing I don't stand for. You know, you could kill someone, you could seriously hurt someone. Yep. So I don't tolerate that shit. You know, where I stopped being a fan, so... I've always enjoyed Matt Hardy's work, and especially even past the version 1 stuff, I thought he was the TV wrestler of the year for that stretch of 07, 08, 09, where he was on every week defending the U.S. title, whether it was on ECW, SmackDown, he was having great matches with MVP, and he was really a workhorse during that period.
Yep.
And then just to see him completely fall apart like this is sad to see.
Yeah, and he was carrying the ECW brand, the nice feud with Mark Henry, and...
Yep.
No, he busted his ass, and you know, he sat here, and he, and you know, we want to defend his Cena threw his shirt in the crowd, and somebody threw it back at him. It's pretty funny. This just disappointed, because here's a guy who spent so much time over the last 10 years defending his brother, who's a train wreck in his own right, and now he's just fallen off the wagon too. And yeah, it's everybody else's fault. You know, WWE sucks. Everybody hates me. My brother got screwed. I got screwed. Everybody got screwed. Whatever.
It's a joke. Did you see Del Rio? They seen it through the shirt out again, and Del Rio was yelling at the kid to throw it back again. That was pretty funny.
That's pretty funny. They're
both a mess. And honestly, yeah, they both need to get the hell away from the business. They both need to get their asses in rehab and get their shit together. But, Jim Ross always thought these two would be paralyzed by the time they were this age, when it said that it's incoherent pill-popping drunks. Maybe that's their way of coping with the pain. But, obviously all those bumps probably took their toll. And these are two guys that need to step away and just get their shit together.
I agree. Absolutely. It's a shame, because Matt was the voice of reason of that, which now seems to be quite frightening.
He seems to be even more delusional. At least Jeff, this shit happens, but he keeps himself. He's not out there on YouTube and Twitter and running shit into the ground. And it's like, God, how many updates do we fucking need? Just go away, It's like, who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, who cares? I'm so tired of hearing about him. I'm tired of reading about him. And his obviously TNA... It tells you what Hardy they really care about, because Jeff is still on their payroll despite all this crap that's been going on for a year. And Matt has one infraction and they boot him. So
yeah, I think Matt still has a complex about that. I think that's why he flips out, because he still has a complex that his brother's better than he is. And you know what, Matt? He is. So that's what it comes down to. So these guys both need to just get away from the business, get clean. Go on vacation. Go paint. Jeff should go paint, sculpt, ride motorcycles, whatever the hell he does. I don't know what Matt does in his spare time. Wine that he misses Lita. I don't know. But get away from the business and clean yourself up, and maybe you can come back. And Vince will take you back. He takes everybody back. He took Luger back, for Christ's sakes. So he'll take anybody back. But just get yourself cleaned up, because we have, WWE has no patience for any of this nonsense right now. The mid-card is so good. There's a lot of good young bucks in this roster that want to get better, that want to perform. We don't need a bunch of sloths taking up space just because they were good 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. That's not the way it needs to work right now. And I don't think Triple H will put up with any of it either. He's got too much stake in these mid-card guys anyway. So the Hardys need to take some time off and get clean.
All right. Well, one news bit actually just came across. Not a major one, but Brett DiBiase is being released. I guess his knee injury that he's been trying to rehab was finally too much. They tried working him as a ref, but it was just too much for his knee. So Ted gave an interview with the Poughkeepsie Journal that his son, Brett, will be released at the end of the month, and it looks like his wrestling career is done. So,
yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. So, all right, continuing on, we have a story about Mick Foley from WrestleChat and his involvement possibly in the Cena Rock match. So this is what they have to say. There's been lots of talk lately about Mick Foley making a WWE return. Word is that if Foley and WWE agree on something, he'll be returning in late fall. Foley will reportedly be involved in the Cena versus Rock storyline going into WrestleMania, and could possibly act as a mouthpiece of sorts for The Rock when he can't be there live. It's believed Foley will not return for a full-time TV role, but will work a Legends deal and do appearances and other gigs for the company. I'll believe that when I see it. I think if he's coming back, he's coming back. I don't see him staying away, and I can't see them resisting using him either.
I agree with you 100%. No, there's no way he's gonna take show up every 5 weeks. When Mick wants to be... When Mick's back, Mick's back. That's just the way it goes with him.
Yeah.
Obviously, late fall means that he'll probably be at Survivor Series at the Garden if he's going to come back.
Well, late fall means, my no compete from TNA is up in September.
that's exactly. But I mean, my point is, I think if they're going to put him on camera, they may wait till Survivor Series at the Garden. I think it's great for the product. And I tell you something, I think that we talked about kind of juicing up the spice for the Rock Cena in the winter. And I think bringing in Stone Cold and anybody else that could kind of juice up that storyline heading to WrestleMania, I think will be good. It'll be good for business.
Yep.
And Mick is one of those guys. I actually have to admit, I kind of miss him. Our man Johnny Reckless thinks I'm rough on Mick, because I think he's a money grubbing glory hound. But
partly makes him endearing, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. But I've never disliked Mick. I'll always love Mick. But sometimes he just gets under my skin. But overall, I've never hated Mick. I've always loved Cactus. He's one of my favorite characters. But I think he'll be good for the product as we head to the end of the year and then get towards the Rumble and get to the winter towards Mania. So no, he'll definitely come back. It's unavoidable that he'll be back on camera.
All right. Next story from Wrestle Chat is actually credit Lords of Pain. And that is involving Sin Cara, Luis Ignacio Uribe El Verde. I'm proud I got that out. The original Sin Cara returned to action at Saturday's SmackDown Live event in Tacoma, Washington. El Verde is eligible to resume performing since his 30-day suspension for his first wellness violation expired Tuesday. He claimed in an interview that he did not know why he tested positive and that he had only gotten routine injections for his injured knee in Mexico. El Verde's future with the organization was believed to be in doubt since developmental talent Jorge Arias, a.k.a. Hunico, assumed the Sin Cara character the last two SmackDown tapings. There was talk that the move would be permanent since company officials were reportedly sour on El Verde due to his attitude and lackluster performance. And then they had a follow-up story on Hunico. WWE developmental talent Hunico, who had been performing as Sin Cara up until this weekend, received praise from officials while on the main roster. Some feel that he may be on the fast track to be called up from FCW in the next few months, and he may be called back up to feud with the original Sin Cara in a Cara versus Cara feud. Now, I would think that's where they have to go, especially since on commentary, you know, mainly Booker keeps talking about how Sin Cara is bulked up and he's put on more muscle, and, you know, they haven't been trying to hide it, that they think he looks different, so I'm guessing it's leading somewhere now, especially with Ray out of the picture. You know, maybe they hold off the Mania on that. I don't know. But
yeah, I don't know either. But I like the – I think a Cara versus Cara feud obviously may replace Cara versus Ray,
right,
depending what happens with his knee. I couldn't tell it. Well, I guess I could. Hunico is a little bigger.
Yeah.
Not that much bigger. And I have to disagree. You know, no, I'm not an expert. Okay, here's a promo now that they're showing. It is next Tuesday.
Okay.
So. There's the promo right now. So next Tuesday
makes
is the
sense.
Live.
I would have said they would have started pimping this thing before now if it was for, you know.
Yeah, So, right. So it's next Tuesday, 8 o'clock on Sci-Fi. It's called Super SmackDown. It's going to have Raw and SmackDown on it. Anyway, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, I have to disagree. Look, I'm not an expert. I mean, you know, I've been a wrestling fan a long time, but I'm not going to pretend I know more than the guys in the... But I don't think Sin Cara has been lackluster. I don't think his matches have been that bad.
I think their hopes were high for what he was going to be and maybe engage the crowd immediately, which is something he didn't maybe hasn't really done. But I wouldn't say he's been a disappointment. I think he's been fine. But
yeah, I mean, he didn't have the kind of pre-debut hoopla that Ray did in 2002. But everybody knew who Ray was. You know, he was on WCW. He was in ECW. Sin Cara is a little different. I mean, he's been in Mexico, AAA.
Under a completely different name too, and
yeah, so it's a little different. It's I don't know what they were expecting big Ray hoopla like they did in 2002. You weren't going to get that.
No.
So I think they got to give this guy the benefit of that. Yes, is being busted for a violation good? No, he's a moron for that. Whether you knew it or not, I'm tired of using the whole Gary Sheffield I didn't know that was cream excuse when it comes for half of these violations. But he hasn't been bad in the ring, not as bad as I think they seem to be making it out to be, but we'll see what happens. It'll be good to see him come back, and maybe he'll change his attitude. Maybe Triple H will talk to him, or through a translator talk to him, and get back into the groove and look good for the fall into the winter. So hopefully it gets better.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go with it. So, all right, next story. There has been discussion. This kind of plays into Sin Cara. There has been discussion within WWE lately about the company looking to see what cruiserweight or light heavyweight talents are out there to sign to developmental deals. It hasn't been confirmed yet that WWE will be doing a full-fledged revival of the cruiserweight division, but they are interested in bringing talents who fit that bill. The idea is that cruiserweights will give guys like Evan Bourne and Sin Cara someone to work with and would add a quality of wrestling to the undercard. This goes back to Triple H and changes he's making as he slowly takes over control of the company. So, I mean, I hope it's true, but part of me thinks too little too late. They had the chance to have all the top, you know, cruiserweight talent like 6 years ago, and they pissed it all away. But if they can find it, if they're out there, I'm not going to be, you know, pretend I'm proficient on the indie scene, but I'm sure there's guys out there that can work that style that would be great in it. So we'll see where this goes. If it's another thing that's going to come and go like everything else they say they're going to do, or is it something legit, you know, if they are really going to rebuild the tag division and the cruiserweight division. It would be nice to see, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of talent there that they can use in the cruiserweight division, Evan Bourne being one of them. I don't know about Kofi, but one guy that's floating out there in the indies that I think a lot of people would like to see on the roster, and that's Nigel McGuinness, the former, that was his name? Desmond Wolfe.
Yes. Yep.
In TNA.
Well, he didn't pass the medical exam, so I don't know. I don't think it's going to change now.
Well, guy's an incredible talent. I'm sure Punk could get him in. Punk seems to have a lot of clout.
I mean, so if he's any kind of medical risk or whatever, I don't know what the reason was, but I can't see them taking a chance.
Yeah. But anyway, there's probably some other guys, and maybe Ray knows guys in Mexico, and I don't know what they mean about sizzling up the mid-card. I mean, I don't think the mid-card's that bad on either show anyway, but the only part of programming that you're going to have to take a hit on is the Divas, which is fine with me, because other than Beth and Natalya, the Divas division kind of sucks. So it really doesn't matter to me anyway. But that's where you'd have to kind of carve in if you're going to fit these cruisers. You're not going to. So this must be a regular thing for Punk now. He does the Savage Elbow all the time now,
yeah.
Which is obviously cool. So I don't know what they'll go, if this will go much further. I mean, Triple H is going to have to cultivate it in Tampa and see what kind of guys he has down there at that size.
Oh, you got Tyson Kidd, too, who can work that style.
Yeah, a lot of the Nexus guys aren't quite.
Not Gabriel.
Maybe Heath Slater. Gabriel, I feel, is a little bigger than a cruiser, but maybe not.
Nah, they could fudge it.
Yeah, probably. But we'll see what happens. We'll see if Triple H is thinking about doing this again. Maybe cull the talent down in Tampa and see what sticks. Throw some shit against a wall and see what sticks. But
I think it wouldn't bother me. I think there's more of a chance that the tag team division gets rejuvenated before the cruiserweight. Honestly,
I'm happy with either one. Either one would be fine with me. I think a tag division would be tremendous. And if Triple H wants to go back to that old school feel, I think this is a good opportunity for them. So. I think they should look more into the tag division too. I kind of agree with you in that aspect, and I just don't think this isn't like what 5-6 years ago when you had Kidman and Chavo and Ray and London, and I mean you don't have that kind of
yeah, they don't have the influx that they had after buying WCW and they had all those great cruiserweight talents, and they did a decent division, but they never put any sort of serious push into it. So
right, so we'll see what happens. I agree with you. I think they should probably lean more towards Jack and the tag division up.
Is this a new referee out there? Is he taking Kyoto's spot?
Probably. I can't believe Kyoto. That's another story. I don't think we have it on the list here, but Mike Kyoto got suspended for 30 days for a wellness policy, which.
And they said other refs were like really concerned about it too. So I don't know what the hell is going on, but.
How are the refs taking drugs? I mean, good lord.
It must be like, it's gonna be like uppers or something. So they put the ring together, they drive there, then they do all these matches. And, you know, they take a physical beating as well.
Yeah, it's either that
so it
or
could
pot.
Be a pill thing.
Yeah, it's either that or pot.
Yeah, might have, well, you, either
you
one.
Might have smoked a bone and was dumb enough and took a piss at the wrong time. So, but anyway, that's a side note. Yeah, this definitely a new referee. Definitely a new referee.
All right, so a couple more stories we want to hit up. Of course, this next one involves DH or Harry Smith, who was released back a few weeks ago. Kind of a surprising release, honestly, with his legacy and his build. You'd think it's someone they'd be interested in using. But it looks like maybe he's heading to Japan for a little bit. I'm guessing he'll be back someday, but...
Probably.
Harry posted the following on his Facebook page. "Well, I'm not one to bury any companies or people, but I'm afraid I have no choice here. The WWE, after great difficulty of my begging, finally sent me back some, but not all, of my family's possessions from the Hall of Fame fan access. This includes my dad's ring gear, my ring gear, Owen Hart's blue blazer masks and singlet, and lots of priceless family possessions. They sent a framed picture of my dad smashed, half of the other stuff missing, but they threw in a Mae Young framed picture. Then they have the nerve to call me 2 weeks after firing me, sniffing around asking if they have it back for their precious Hall of Fame access. Even though I'm an expendable talent, they wouldn't mind just keeping my family's last remaining stuff. Anyone can feel free to post this on the dirt sites, as I feel the world should know how selfish and inconsiderate WWE truly is."
I don't know. Sounds like spilled milk to me.
Well, I mean, if it's true that they sent it back smashed and busted up, I mean, that's bullshit. Yeah, you know, that's not right.
Well, I mean, it's not like they... Well, I mean, maybe the mail did it, but I don't think they smashed the picture up, threw it in a box, and mailed it to them.
Well,
I mean,
they might not have packed it the right way. I'm just saying, obviously it's probably a little bit of sour grapes, but I can see them, you know, being dicks about it. I mean, there are stories where they're assholes to people about stuff.
Well, yeah, they are. No, I'm not disagreeing with that, but, I mean, unfortunately, the proof's always in the pudding, and you know... yeah, so the pictures. I mean, sure, I'm sure the broken picture was more of an accident than anything else, but I'm sure it was the icing on the cake for just getting shit canned. So, I don't know.
Well, you know, deep down, he's a heart, so he will, he'll be back.
Yeah, so he'll be grizzled. He'll be grizzled for about 5 years and then come back. Well, here's Nash now, so maybe he didn't get hit by an ambulance or whatever the hell happened.
Maybe they're just trying to get Triple H out of the building, as possible.
That's entirely true. And obviously this leads towards probably Cena winning this match. But, you know, I feel bad for DH. I don't know why they got rid of him. I thought he was the I thought he was the golden boy, and Kidd was the one that Tyson Kidd was the one that was going to get canned. Instead, it's the other way around.
Well,
so
here we go, and just as we predicted earlier, Nash costs Punk the match, and Cena will move on to face Del Rio at Night of Champions. And I'm guessing Punk Nash obviously set up.
Yeah,
for September
and Del Rio just ran in the ring and is beating Cena down. So I think that'll be a good match. I think it'll be a good match, Del Rio and Cena. I think they'll work well.
Oh, yeah, I think so as well. I mean, I think Del Rio will win. It'll be interesting to see Cena lose another. It'll be three straight pay-per-views losing the title match. But I can't see them taking it off Del Rio already. The whole point was to have it. I don't think the Mexico tour is until October, so they're going to want it on him then, obviously.
Right. Yeah. So.
And if you squash him, you know, if he only holds it for a month after, you know, all these start and stops that he's had all year, it's going to be a joke. They can't do that.
Here comes Roger Goodell.
No, I'm with Marty Funkhauser now. He's more Funkhauser than that.
Marty Funk. Yes, I agree. I like Marty Funkhauser too. Is he gonna have? Is Larry Nice gonna have a jet stream of bullshit coming out of his ass too?
he's even got the voice. That's why he's got the voice and the look.
Oh yeah, yes. Does he? I wonder if he's got the Dodgers season tickets too. So Larry could bring the hooker again. I'm sorry. I like referring to that Curb episode because that's like the one that I know better than any
other. You should go back and watch this last season. Last night's was phenomenal. This whole season has been ridiculous.
Well, I think it's on Netflix Instant Queue, so I'm probably going to start. I know you got some of the box sets too, but I think I'm going to start from the beginning myself. And
I heavily implore you to watch them all. You will not be disappointed.
No, that's one show. I know Seinfeld. I'm a little tough for me sometimes, but Curb, I think I could easily get myself into. For some reason, I find that writing funnier. I know you and I. That might be another debate. I think when we have our good friend Leanne back on, because there was a debate at work. Let me just tangent for just a few seconds. Somebody started a debate at work, and next time we have Matt Rotella on, he'll talk about this too. There was a debate at work a few weeks ago about whether if you like between Curb and Seinfeld, if you like one, you have to like both. You're not allowed to like one and hate the other. Now you're the biggest fan of both shows that I know. Is that something that, because I'm like that. I don't hate Seinfeld, but for some reason I find Curb funnier. But that's just me.
Well, I'm gonna say this. I'm not gonna be able to say it as well as if you go to read Bill Simmons' mailbag from last week. He actually talked about the two shows and why he thinks Seinfeld is actually still the premier comedy and not Curb Your Enthusiasm. And he gives like six different, and he's a huge Curb fan. But he gives like six or seven different reasons as to why Seinfeld stands out, and it has to do with them being on network TV and how much harder it is to do than, you know, Curb has the crutches that they can use. And he's
on cable, right?
Yeah. And it talks about how it was more of a mainstream appeal and how it had a longer run, longer season. So there's a lot there that he talks about and explains why, you know, he thinks Seinfeld is still the show. But I think you can like one and not the other. I mean, Larry David's based, or George Costanza was based on Larry David. But I mean, you can definitely enjoy Curb without having ever even seen Seinfeld. I think it might actually help you because, you know, you don't think about it as being a lot of very similar. So,
okay.
But if you go back and watch Curb evolve, and then especially heading into this season, which, you know, season two of Curb was very good, and there's been some great seasons, but this literally may be its peak. I mean, it has been phenomenal week in and week out. It's been amazing.
And do you think this will be it?
No.
Okay.
Every year he has said he doesn't think he's coming back, and this year he hasn't said it.
Okay.
And he always does, but I can't see him going out.
Eight?
Yeah, this is eight.
Okay.
I can't see him going out. I mean, it might be a while before we get another season. Usually it's like a year and a half in between seasons.
Now, the season that they did the reunion, was that a good season or not?
Yeah, I like that one. I got to go back and watch it again. It was good, and it was a fitting ending to Seinfeld. That's why I see it.
Okay.
But it was funny, and it had its good episodes, but this has been like transcendent funny.
Okay.
Like, when I tell you that every episode of the season, like, you could watch the season without really needing to even watch the other ones. Like, they follow each other, but you have a basic enough knowledge that you know the characters.
Yeah.
If you watch the season just for itself, and you'll will.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't even explain how good it's been.
All right. No, I agree. That's a show that I'll definitely hop on. But I was just curious because you're the biggest fan of both shows that I know, and this debate was at work a few weeks ago, and I kept meaning to ask you, and when you just mentioned Marty Funkhauser, it just came up into my head. So let's see, we got one more news bit to, right? Do we have one more?
TNA related news bit here. First one. TNA's kind of been, you know, a mess, and actually, there's a lot of shit going on that I'm not fully up on, so maybe we'll have to read about it before we get into it further. But apparently now, I don't know if you saw the UFC stuff moving to Fox.
Yes, I did. It's a big deal.
Yeah, they're leaving Spike TV altogether. So many people are wondering where this is going to leave TNA. Spike is rumored to be going more towards a split direction instead of just the all-man programming they've been doing. They want to try and target both males and females again. And now you wonder, where is TNA going to fit in this? Now, if they lose television, Spike has been funding them for a while, you know, for a lot of their contracts and other big shows.
Well, they
are they going to be able to find another TV station to do all this? I don't know. I mean, the ratings are still good for a cable show. I mean, don't get me wrong. For a wrestling show, they're low. But for a cable show, they're good. So they got to really hope that things don't change. They might end up back on the internet.
Well, if they do that, they might as well just close up shop. And be honest with you, with the frustration that Jarrett has had right now with losing as much power as he had, it's pretty much being run by Dixie, Hogan, and Bischoff. I would be surprised if he said, you know what, blow it out your ass and just leave. I wouldn't be surprised if he called Vince and said, please forgive me. I'll give you a check back for the money that I ripped you off on before No Mercy 99. But I don't know. If they leave, this is huge for Dana White. Huge.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no doubt. He's going to have major shows on Fox, and Ultimate Fighter is going to be on FX, which is obviously becoming a major cable station now.
Yes,
so.
Huge cables. Yes. 90% of the dramas, or most of their dramas, on FX, from The Shield when it was on, Rescue Me, of course, Sons of Anarchy, a show that I'm surprised you haven't jumped on. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which seems to be a show that's
I've
right
watched
up your
a
alley,
couple. I gotta get into it, and of course, Louis on that, right? I haven't watched that.
Yes,
but
Louis.
I know that
yeah, Louis on there too, and then that other show with who the hell is it? Is it what's his name? The kid that played Frodo in on Lord of the Rings. What's his name? I can't think of his name, but Elijah Wood, and it's the show. The guy's I don't remember.
Oh, Wilfred or whatever.
Wilfred, yeah, the dog who's a guy or whatever the hell it is. Yeah, no, FX is becoming one of the more well known and well watched cable channels.
Yeah, it's gonna be around. It's huge for UFC. It definitely is, and I mean, you just wonder maybe if Spike does want to boot TNA, maybe they use a little pull with UFC, say, you know, help us out. Maybe they can get on FX or Fuel. I don't know. I know they're talking about Fuel Network, you know, picking up a lot of the UFC stuff too. So,
yep.
I mean, I'm sure they'll find a home. It just might not be nearly as high profile as Spike is.
Right. No, I don't think so either. This is a turning point for TNA as a company.
No pun intended, obviously.
No pun intended. Yeah, stealing from other titles. But this is a big deal, and I can't believe, you know, Dixie Carter's clearly not the brightest bulb in the Christmas tree, because she's just flushed money down the toilet the last couple, like at least 2 years.
You know, we talked about this with Stevie Richards. They were, you know, they had a good enough product to survive and be the program that they could be without pushing the envelope too much, like they had in, was it like 2005, 2006, where they had a lot of focus on their homegrown talent.
Yep.
And, you know, they ended up switching gears. They didn't like what they were doing with that, and they became this, which is basically just a mix between WCW late era and WWE. So, I don't know. I know Jerry Jarrett did an interview last week, and he said Vince Russo is a cancer that needs to be ripped out of that promotion. I don't know. You know, they seem to be just stuck in the mud. They don't ever seem to make any forward progress at all.
No, and I think eventually there's going to be some kind of – Panda Energy must have a stockholders. I think it's a publicly traded company, I would think.
Well, they're the dumbest fucking group of stockholders.
Well, they must be a bunch of knuckleheads, because obviously they just nod and let – I mean, maybe Dixie, you know, waves her jugs at him or something. I don't know. But she obviously is being allowed to flush money down the toilet at this. I don't know.
I mean, this is a company they're billing to fucking Sting and Hogan.
Yeah. Hello? This isn't 1997.
Jesus. I mean, that's going to be – and Hogan can't even move. How is he going to wrestle? How is he going to carry Sting in a match?
He didn't want to do it when he was halfway healthy. Now he's going to try and do it when he's not healthy at all.
I don't get it.
And Sting didn't want to come here. To WWE, I shouldn't say here. Yes, I know the Vince Shield thing.
The Matt Rotella.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't want to come to WWE. Meanwhile, he wants to stay there. And I don't know. Somebody's got to sit Sting down and go, look, this isn't 1988. You're not loyal to the Crockett's. Get your head out of your ass.
No, I don't think he's ever gone.
I don't get it. I don't know why he hates them so much. I wish that'd be a great question to ask him. And a legit, don't give me the whole born again Christian nonsense, because this isn't 1999. There's not boobs and lesbians on it. It's not like that anymore. There's got to be something. Somebody must have pissed him off, or kind of in the grain of when Kurt was on ECW and they did the whole Raven putting Sandman on the cross and he'd never be on ECW again. And And it's got to be something happened, because you don't just blanketly hate WWE just for no reason at all. Everybody else went there. Everybody else. Even Flair, twice. Hmm. And Flair was like the battered wife of the NWA for 20 years. He always felt bad, even though they treated him like garbage.
I think he
just
feels like he probably doesn't need to. I think he feels his legacy doesn't need it. He probably doesn't need the money. So it's just kind of that thing. I mean, he is pretty much the one guy that never did jump, so...
Well, if he's happy for that, then that's fine. But I don't know what he plans to do if TNA dumps. I mean, maybe, I guess, just retire. I wonder if he'll offer his match. Well, Vince has all his matches anyway, so I don't know why he wouldn't just go there and make some money. I don't know.
We're talking
as if TNA is dead. Maybe it is theoretically, but...
been The Walking Dead for a while, unfortunately.
Yeah, so...
And this is going... I enjoy watching it. I mean, I'm not against it. I don't want to see them fail. It's just...
No, I don't either.
I want them to fucking succeed, and they just can't seem to get the shit together enough to do it. And this is what is for the proof. Ric Flair returned to TV on Thursday's Impact, challenged Sting to a match. Segment concluded with Sting agreeing to put his career on the line in a match against Flair, on the stipulation that Hulk Hogan has delivered to him on a silver platter. So, I don't know. These three fucking still feuding, when they were feuding over the WCW title in 1995, and they're still going now.
Where's the Mall of America? And where's Luger walking up the ramp and all that other nonsense?
Yeah, so, I don't know. We'll see where that goes. We'll keep an eye on it. But that brings it an end to that segment for WrestleChat. Of course, check out that site, WrestleChat.net, for those stories and many, many more. Yep. Of course, their podcast and other stuff that they got going on there is great as well. So
yes,
check them out. So let's wrap up now with, not wrap up. We got quite a bit of little feedback. And of course, as you know, the headline feedback is more than just feedback. It's questions for us to talk about. So let's get into those. First comes from our boy, Jeremy Nichols. Jeremy, actually, you get some love. I was talking to Rob Houston at the old YMCA last week, and he had a lot of love for the show, but he really enjoyed Jeremy's guest stint. So. He wanted me to pass that along once again, at the risk of pissing Scott off once more. But
well, no, let's. I'm sure. I wonder, did Rob say that he wants to hear Jeremy's unabridged answers, or are we not allowed to? We're not allowed to cut and paste.
I sent a personal apology as well to Brian Samek. We were busting back and forth today about not reading his comments, but I told him by hour two and reading the fifth, notebook full of notes that. I can only do so much, but...
Yes.
Okay, Jeremy Nichols. Matt Hardy being let go by TNA. I used to be a big Matt Hardy fan. I loved his version 1 character. The run he had during that time was solid, main eventing SmackDown a few times, working with Lesnar Taker, holding the Cruiserweight title. Then it all went downhill. Shame considering the fan support he had and the potential wasted. So we got into that earlier, but thank you for your thoughts, Jeremy, on Matt Hardy and the train wreck there. Karen Polland.
The Hot Scott.
Also wanted to know what we thought about Matt Hardy. And also thoughts about Kevin Nash's return. We touched on it briefly, but I think we're both happy to see him back. We've always both been Nash fans.
Yep.
As long as they keep him out of the ring on a regular basis and is built to big matches with him, I'm fine with that. If they're going to try and make him any kind of regular in-ring character, it's just not going to work. But it doesn't seem like they're headed that way. So.
No, not at all. I think he's here just to kind of, not to bust stones because this is what they always accuse him of. But I don't think he's just there to quote, get a paycheck. I think Triple H really wants him there. I think Nash is a good guy to train big dudes on. I think he should take Andy from Tough Enough under his wing.
We didn't talk about that either. Did you see Andy got busted as well? 30-day suspension?
Yes, he did. That's not smart. He
must have been visiting those meth labs across from his shack there.
yeah, exactly. But it's good to see Nash back, and I think that's what they'll do. I think he's a good guy to send to Tampa and teach the real big guys how to work big matches and get over with the fans. He's definitely gonna be a valuable asset to the company. In that.
Instead of sitting in your trailer park doing smack, you should be out there playing basketball with the fucking midgets.
Oh god, that's one thing I'm looking forward to for season 2 is I hope the midgets come back and John Sally, coaching against the midgets.
Andrew Reese is down in Louisiana, thinks she's a tough son of a bitch. Let's see him get out there with the midgets playing hoops.
I think there should be a DVD extra of just Steve playing with the midgets. That'd be very funny.
I've busted your balls. I've said enough about Triple H, but I'm all in on the Triple H era as CEO. I'm ready to go. I'm all right. Suited up. I got the leather jean jacket combo on. I've got my water bottle, my sledgehammer. I'm ready to go.
Good. So. Plenty of room on the bandwagon for you. I've always left a seat open for you, and I knew eventually you would join me. So, Austin Pfaff, let me hop in here and help you out. Austin Pfaff asks, any DVD releases you guys looking forward to wrestling-wise? I'm looking forward to the Oh My God the Orton and the Bret Shawn. Obviously, the Oh My God is the top 50 incidents, which is coming out tomorrow. I'm buying that simply because it's got the Brock Kurt Iron Man on it.
Yes.
That's really the only reason. Well, not the only reason. I'm sure there's other stuff on it. We went over the matches. We went over the very long list of events.
No, that's not on the Oh My God, is it? That's on the top stars of the...
Oh, that's the top stars. That's right. Yeah. Wrong one. What is on the Oh My God?
That's the 50 moments we went over.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Are there any
other... Young's hand and all that bullshit.
Yeah, I don't think there's any matches on there, though. There probably is, but that's right. I'm sorry. The Iron Man is on the 21st century. The Orton DVD,
See, it's hard for me to get pumped for ones like that now because I'm sure it'll be good. But, you know, we're going to get the definitive in a few years. And, you know, that's one that'll pop up on Netflix and will be cheap eventually on Amazon. So that's one I'm not going to rush to see, but I'm sure it'll be good. I mean, if you're an Orton fan, and he's had a lot of good matches, so I'm sure it'll be a good DVD. It's just not one I'm going to rush out to get.
Orton, that DVD is a good purchase for someone like our friend Matt Rotella and guys who aren't like you and I who buy the monthlies because – three quarters. The only match that really no one has, I guess there's an OVW, him and, it's not Cena. I don't know. It's some guy from OVW in 2001. And then every match after that is on a DVD. And that includes his first match on SmackDown against Hardcore Holly, which is on the 15 or the 10 year SmackDown, set.
Yep.
So in terms of matches, it's nothing that's going to blow you away. In terms of that, but if you're an Orton fan, get it. Maybe the documentary is good. Who knows? But in terms of the matches, now, obviously the rivalries one, the Bret Shawn one, is obviously very, very much anticipated.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
And again, the little controversy, although it's not really a controversy, if you're a diehard DVD collector, and you and I talked about this, I think it was last week, or it must have been the week before. If you want the Screwjob match, that's only on the Blu-ray, but I'm not going to bother looking now, but it's got to be on something I own.
I'm sure. I think it's on Bret's, isn't it? Or the Hart family. It's on one of those. I know I've seen it on a DVD. I know I have.
Let me pull Bret's out. But other than that, the DVDs, I mean, it's right in your wheelhouse, JR. Because I mean, it's all those matches from like 91, 92.
Oh yeah, I'm ready for that one. I'm definitely.
Yeah, it's all like superstars and all these crazy house show matches and. 95.
And of course, the just while you're looking that up, the Austin DVD is another one I'm really looking forward
yes.
to. Four discs. Him and JR are going to recall three of the WrestleMania matches he was in. They're going to do commentary for. Austin's got his full hand. He's assembled this whole DVD, so I'm sure that's going to be excellent as well.
It's not on Bret's DVD. I don't have the...
Well, look at Graham's site quick. Go to Survivor Series. He probably has it listed.
I don't have the... I don't have the Heart and Soul.
All right, let's do this. While you do that, pull up Graham's site. I'm going to read. They released the match list for the second ladder match DVD.
Oh, sweet. Excellent.
So I'll read through that while you do this. We'll read
it
quick. First match, and actually this was not on the first set. That's Shawn and Razor from WrestleMania 10. And then from here, it's a mishmash of basically the leftovers from what they didn't have. Ladder match, Tracy Smothers versus Chris Candido from Smoky Mountain, March of 94. Eddie Guerrero and Six from Sold Out, January 97. That's an okay match. Not as good as you would probably think it to be. Mankind versus Big Boss Man, November 30th, Raw, 1998. Of course, I think that was one of his earliest. It might have been his first hardcore title defense. One of the earliest ones. Is that the one where Boss Man wins it, or is he already champion there? I forget.
Because
I know Mick
did
Mick Boss Man, November 30th, 98, for the hardcore title.
I don't know. It's about 2 weeks after because he got it. He gave it to him at Survivor Series, which was about 2 weeks before. So
no,
he
gave it to him the hardcore title. It was on Raw. That was when he's in the wheelchair.
All right, so it was October then. Yeah, I think Boss Man already lost. I think he might have already won it by then.
Okay, because I know Mick only had it for like a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Next one's Rock Mankind for the WWE title, the Raw the night after St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
That's right, yes. Big Show.
When Rock won, yep.
Yep.
Vince and Shane versus Austin from King of the Ring 99. Three Count versus the Young Dragons from New Blood Rising 2000. That's a very good match. That's on another DVD, I think.
I think it's on the Starrcade DVD.
No, it's from New Blood.
New Blood Rising. No, I'm sorry. No, you're right.
It must be a different one. I'm thinking of. No, I'm thinking of the Starrcade one. You're right. They must have had two ladder. That was a six. That was a three way ladder match.
Yeah, it was Young Dragons, Three Count, and I don't remember who the other team was.
It was the other two guys that weren't in the two teams. I forget.
Yeah.
It was the. Yeah, it was like Noble and I forget who else, but
yeah.
Edge and Christian versus the Hardys from September 25th, 2000 Raw. That's the first Raw on TNN. They opened the show with that.
Yep.
Disc 2, Jeff Hardy versus RVD to unify the IC and European titles July 22nd, 2002.
I remember liking that match.
Yeah, it was decent.
It was a good match. Good. Yeah.
Team Angle versus Eddie and Tajiri from Judgment Day 03. That's a very good match. Mm-hmm. Christian versus RVD from Raw September 29th, 2003. Of course, that's the one with the, I believe that's the one the fan came in and tried to knock RVD off the ladder. So that's an excellent match, though.
Yeah,
that's on RVD's DVD.
Yes, it is.
Here's an interesting one. Ladder match of the Undisputed OVW Women's Championship. Katie Lee versus Beth Phoenix, December 23rd, 2006.
Wow.
So curious.
That's pretty cool.
Money in the Bank from WrestleMania 23. Of course, the one, the Kennedy one.
Kennedy one, yep.
Hardys versus World's Greatest Tag Team from One Night Stand of 2007.
I don't really remember that match.
That was that weird Hardys were reunited, but not really.
Yeah, but they were. Yeah, it was like they won and then kind of. Yeah. And yeah. Actually, I just watched. That match is already on something. Oh, no. I was just watching the Hardy DVD the other night, and the match from the previous month at Judgment Day.
Okay.
That's that match. Oh wait, was that that was against Caden Murdoch actually.
Yes. Yep.
So okay.
All right. Jeff and Carlito from the Raw 10th anniversary, or Raw, was it Raw 10? No, Raw 15. He put December 10th, 2007. Is that the Raw 15 or whatever?
That's a Raw 15. Yeah. That's a Raw 15. Yep. We were at that show. Yep.
Decent match. Disc 3. Yeah. Undertaker versus Edge One Night Stand. TLC match.
Oh, that's the one where Taker gets thrown through like 1,000 things and Edge wins the title. Yep, I remember that.
And here's one that may be worth buying this DVD set just alone, is Jericho, Shawn Michaels from No Mercy, 2008. Excellent ladder match.
Yes, tremendous ladder match, yes.
Money in the Bank for WrestleMania 25. I believe that's one.
That was
Punk's
second one, yep.
And then Money in the Bank from Money in the Bank last year. The
which one?
Raw one. No, Miz, Orton, Jericho, Bourne, DiBiase, Morrison.
That's
Edge.
The Raw one. Yeah, that's a Raw one. Yep.
And then the number one contender's ladder match from TLC, Morrison and Sheamus, which is a very good match.
Yes, it is.
Christian, Alberto Del Rio from Extreme Rules, and that's it. And then they have the Blu-ray extras. Edge versus Jeff Hardy from Extreme Rules 09. Christian Shelton Benjamin from TLC 09. Miz versus Jerry Lawler from November 29th, 2010. And then Dolph versus Kofi versus Jack Swagger from TLC last year. So they're basically running the gamut to put every other ladder match that wasn't on the first one.
Yeah, pretty much. According to Graham, the only thing that the Screwjob match is on is Best of Confidential Volume 1.
Okay. No, I thought it was definitely on something else. Man, I think so. That's probably what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I don't have it. So maybe I don't have it. Well, maybe I will. Well, see, I don't have a Blu-ray player, but bummer. I've got to have it somewhere. I have to look it up. It's got to be on something else.
Well, Survivor Series Anthology, obviously. Oh no, they never released that, right?
No, they never. They never. They only got up to 92. That's weird. It's got to be on something else. Not that I don't distrust Graham. He is the Broham, but maybe there's an extra thing he may not have updated. I'll have to look at that up. I could have sworn it's on something.
I thought so.
Maybe not. I don't know. Weird.
All right.
But yes, so that's the controversy of the Brett Shawn DVD, is that the Screwjob is only a Blu-ray extra, which I don't know. I'm not going to get into the merits of that, but that probably was unnecessary to have to do that. But it's still a DVD definitely worth getting. And of course, as Justin mentioned, the Stone Cold Anthology or whatever the hell that's going to be.
Yep.
Apparently, they're going to do all three Rock matches. And I think...
Is that the ones that they're commentating for?
It's the two of them. I think JR and I think the two of them are going to commentate together.
Oh, I read that JR and Steve were doing three WrestleMania matches they were redoing.
I don't remember where I read it, but I thought it was the three Rocks. But I have a feeling one of them is probably the win over Shawn would probably be one of them, and maybe one of the Rock. What are those? Is there? We're not going to talk about the Scott Hall match. We'd want to talk about that.
No, it's probably the three Rock matches. That makes sense.
Yeah, either the three Rock matches or two Rock matches and the win over Shawn, or maybe the match with Brett. I don't know. There never was a commentary for it. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
But at least two of them will be the two rock matches. I'm sure he'll want to talk about the match at 17 in his home crowd. And then 19 would be great because that was obviously that crazy weekend where he went to the hospital and it was his last match. And yep. maybe he'll mention what him and Rock said. I hope he doesn't because I like the fact that they keep that to themselves. But that'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to that. He gets to pick the matches. I wonder what else he'd have to pick. I just watched his DVD again. He's got a lot of good shit on his set, so I don't know what else.
Oh, that's probably a lot of hidden WCW gems.
Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of Steamboat matches that we haven't seen, and you know, there's a bunch of good Raws and that kind of stuff that we haven't seen either. So, yeah, no, I'm looking. That's definitely one to look forward to. But I definitely get the 21st Century DVD because that's got the Brock Kurt Iron Man that we've talked about for years. It's chopped to shit on the SmackDown DVD. Right. So,
all right, let's finish this up. Corey Ferreira. Who texted Nash? A Hunter and Stephanie working together. Will Vince come back to TV? Who shot Mr. Burns? We talked a bit about the Nash stuff. Do you think Hunter and Stephanie are working together just quickly?
No, okay. I don't.
So you think they're working separate? So no, do you think one of them are the ones that texted Nash?
I do. I think Stephanie texted Nash because I think Stephanie is working not to undermine Triple H, but to tell him, look, you may be my husband, but Vince is my father, and I want him back in this slot. Something's going to go down.
Right, well, but I think Hunter's definitely turning heel, so it makes sense to me that he'd be the one. And he's always the evil mastermind, so I'm guessing in the end it'll be him that...
He is the cerebral assassin. But but that way you'd have the... Yeah, because I guess Hunter Punk, if they end up doing that at WrestleMania, Triple H would kind of have to be the pseudo-heel. So, yeah, that makes sense.
And as far as Vince coming back, he'll probably be back eventually, hopefully. I'm kind of hoping not, but he might have one little quick last run. But I don't think he'll ever be back as any kind of major serious role.
Yes. Yeah. Are the Place to Be podcast's favorite name?
J. Arsenio D'Amato.
That's awesome. He asks, what potential matches for Survivor Series at MSG in November? I don't know. Depends on how the next few pay-per-views go.
Yeah, let's save that one. Jay, yeah. Hit us back with that one in a few weeks. We'll get to that. I think that's one that we need to dedicate a whole segment to.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've got three pay-per-views before that. We've got Night of Champions, we've got Hell in a Cell, and then Vengeance, I guess it's called. Yeah, Vengeance. So there's still three pay-per-views before that. So let's let it matriculate a bit, and we'll get back to that question.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a great topic to talk about, though. So
speaking of your YMCA bro man, Rob Houston says, I agree with the Matt Hardy comments. I always liked him as a wrestler. Why do you think he never got the push in WWE while his brother did? For someone that was very over with the fans, do you think that he will get a chance, or is he in the same boat as Christian was previously? Always be a high mid-card at best.
I think so. I think he is pretty much right in line. I mean, I don't think he's as hard a worker or nearly as good in the ring as or polished as Christian is. Maybe
no,
at one point he could have been considered that way, but Jeff just always had that charisma. He always had that star power. That Matt was just kind of a little more bland. Something about Jeff. You know, they say there are guys that have it, and Jeff just was one of those guys. He just had it.
Jeff was one of those. Yeah, he just had that. He was just so suave, and he just kind of had that RVD-ish kind of, you know, not taking himself too seriously, but sort of is, you know, that brooding. You know, Jeff was kind of the poster boy for that kind of dark generation of the 90s of you know, misplaced youth kind of thing, and I think he kind of matched with the fan base at that time.
Well, don't forget that he got over. You know, he killed himself taking bumps, whereas Matt took big bumps too. Jeff was always the spotlighted huge bumps, and that stuff carries over. You know, he just had that star aura around him.
Exactly, and Jeff, Matt's just a good worker, but he has nothing. The version one was cool. I agree, but I just lost my train of thought. He didn't have that savoir-faire, to steal a Jesse Ventura line, that Jeff had. And, you know, I don't think Matt was a bad wrestler, but he just didn't have that special something that his brother had. And no. I think, I really do think that bothers him. I really think so.
And I think his time has passed. He may be back someday, a couple of years from now, but I don't think he'll ever be anything like what. I mean, Christian left and came back, but Christian doesn't have all the personal issues and baggage and ego that and nonsense that Matt Hardy brings.
Yeah, exactly.
Christian's a company guy, a hard worker, and a guy that also connects well with the fans. So I think Matt's time is coming on, unfortunately, and that's his own fault.
Yeah.
Todd Weber wants us to break down the GOP presidential race and what it means to our economic bottom line. Is Michelle Bachmann the Dixie Carter of politics? And Todd, you know better than anyone, or as well as anyone, that we don't really get into politics here. We don't need Scott to get into his thoughts on voting for Rutherford B. Hayes back in the 1800s.
Look, I know you wanted Stephen Douglas, sucker, but I won that one. Okay.
So
no, we're not gonna get into that because we don't need any.
Honestly, I don't. I'm just not really up on politics. I don't really know enough to even.
Honestly, it's too early for anybody who's a Republican to even think it. It's way too early. There's too many useless names floating around there, and if you care enough, care about it in like March, that's when it'll really make a big difference.
Yeah, the extent of our politics talks will probably be regarding Lynn McMahon running for Senate affecting Ross. So
yeah, pretty much. I don't think it'll affect me because I actually live in the state that she'd be running in. But anyway, Corey Ferreira, thoughts, mentions again, thoughts on the new Steve Austin DVD WWE is producing, and also thoughts on the Divas of Doom angle. Well, we've talked about Steve's DVD already.
Yeah.
It's going to be tremendous. It's going to be different than the anthology, the one that came out, was it last year? No, the year before.
Yeah, it was a couple years ago.
Yeah, it was because that was just, you know, we all know Steve's life. We all know it. You know, Austin, you know, he came from Victoria, Texas, went to Edna High School, wrestled in World Class. You know, we know the whole story, but it'd be great to really see the details. And he might throw a little dirt out there and talk about some things. We'd like to, you know, it'll be good to be a little juicy. And matches wise, who the hell knows, but it's not gonna matter. I'm gonna buy it anyway. It doesn't matter if there's I have so many repeats on the shelf anyway, it doesn't even matter. But I'm looking forward to seeing what that'll entail. As for the Divas of Doom, I like them both. They're the two best workers on the roster for the Divas division, Natalya and Beth. One of them's gonna be the Divas champion. I don't know which one. It's almost
I think it's a great angle. I like it, and it's obviously building eventually, like I said, to something with Kong when she comes back.
Right, it's almost like a jacked up version of Lay Cool.
Yeah, basically.
You know? Yeah, so that's pretty much what it is. But thank you, Corey, and thank you, everyone. Do we have any more?
No, that's it. We'll give some love to Corey and Brian Semek, who are enjoying the Mark Henry push as much as we are. I kind of put a post up about that while I was watching it yesterday. So,
yes.
Cool to see Mizark getting some love. So, quickly, we're not getting into really any sports, but did you see this whole nonsense about the shootings at the Niners Raiders game?
It was crazy, yeah.
What the fuck is going on over there?
I don't know, but they both suck. So what's the?
It looks like it may be gang related.
It's got to be. I mean, obviously, if you watch the 30 for 30 that they did, they did one about rap, and actually right up your alley. It talked about NWA and Ice Cube and the Raiders being like the official team of gang of the Crips and Bloods and all that kind of in the 80s and early 90s. And I don't think that Raiders stigma will ever go away. You know, Oakland is not exactly.
Well, this happened in San Francisco, though.
Right, but there were traveling Raider fans, and but this coming from Niner fans is very weird. San Francisco is a very laid back city, and it's very. And apparently, the owner of the Niners does not want this game on the schedule anymore.
No.
This is a big thing for the NFL. Likes having this rivalry in the preseason, but this is the second. What is with the city of San Francisco? This is the second time in. What, 6 months that there's been a major, but then there was the Giant fans that, or was it the Dodger fans? That kind of, well, the Dodger fans beat the crap out of that Giants fan, and now the Niner fans are shooting at each other. I don't know. It's a mess. It's not good. The other NFL thing that, we won't get into that tonight because it's a long debate, but the other big stink that I heard today was about Terrell Pryor, who, speaking of the Raiders, is now a Raider.
Yep.
He was the third pick in the supplemental draft, and now sports radio here in the Northeast I don't know if they talked about it on the Score or on EEI.
No, they're too busy blowing the Super Bowl champion Patriots.
Sucking off Brady and Belichick, of course. Yeah, obviously. Bruins are not even thought of anymore.
Well, the Patriots had two huge, big preseason dominating wins, so they're
absolutely
primed to be the Super Bowl champions.
When you kick the crap out of the Buccaneers, you better be scared.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, this whole thing about where does Roger Goodell get off suspending Terrell Pryor for 5 games when, you know, the whole he shouldn't be instituting other college punishments and he's too egomaniacal and he's too this. And honestly, Terrell Pryor ducked paying the piper at Ohio State so he can go to the NFL and he should be given no punishment. Nah, I don't believe. Now, if Roger Goodell continues this down the line, then that's the way it needs to be. But if this is just a single thing just to be a ball buster, then no, I don't agree with it. But that was another big thing that was talked about today on talk radio was this whole Terrell Pryor thing. It's not going to play with Oakland anyway, unless Jason Campbell really sucks. But it's not going to matter. The Raiders are going to be terrible anyway. But we'll obviously elaborate more on that next Monday on our preview show. But yeah, what you were saying, it's just I can't believe shootings in San Francisco. Just very, very weird. But it's got to be gang-related. I mean, Niner fans don't get that drunk. So, I mean, I don't
especially for preseason.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's you know, this isn't the 80s when, you know, when Montana and all those guys, and they were winning 15 games a season. This wasn't even like this, so I don't know.
No. So obviously that sets up for next week's NFL preview, where we will go division by division, give our predictions, give our awards predictions and our playoff predictions, and maybe we'll do a little rankings too, top quarterbacks, top, just to see where we think everyone stands. So we'll get into that as well. Of course, later this week we will hit up the 1992 Royal Rumble, which we're pretty excited about.
Yes,
of course,
yes.
That should be a good one. We'll get the thread up later or early tomorrow probably to get your feedback about that.
Yep.
Also, I wanted to let everyone know, I put up a poll on the Facebook page. We're going to be doing a predictions picks league for the NFL with the place to be. We're just trying to debate if it should be on the message board, if it should be a Yahoo league. Let us know what you like the best. Chime in on the board or on Twitter, wherever you want, on the Facebook page. Let us know where you think we should do this. What's easier? Would you rather go to the message board and post your picks, or would you be happier in a Yahoo setup? So right now the board is winning, but it's like 4-1. So get your vote in, and we're going to get that set up in the next couple weeks as well. So
yes.
So that's it then. We got the 92 Rumble coming. We have the NFL preview coming next week. And then, of course, the Vintage Vault will roll on. And in a couple weeks, we'll start beginning our weekly NFL podcast as well. So
yep.
All right, anything else left you want to talk about, Scott?
No, we did it. I'm impressed with the expediency with which we motored through our show tonight. So,
yes.
Have a great night, one and all, and get ready later this week when we really let out the Hogan vitriol.
Yes,
so stay tuned for that.
We'll be having a deep, deep, intricate discussion between the Ric Flair love and the Hulk Hogan hate, and there'll be a lot of other madness going on. So
yes,
tune back in later this week. We hope you enjoyed this headlines return to headlines here tonight, and we will be coming at you Wednesday night. Until then, take care.
Peace.